Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Here again in these first three verses, actually you notice it most of all in the second and third verse, but the first verse has to do with words as well, and speech, and that which is helpful, that which is encouraging, that which is godly. First of all, it says in verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. Hearing, that has to do with not only taking it into our ears, but considering it, obeying it, abiding by it, the father's instruction. Wise son. The thought of a son not caring about the instruction of their father. And I will confess, I could have done a better job listening to my dad. And I've shared with you before that there were times that I didn't pay as much attention to him as I should have. And that's probably the case for all of us. We all could have done better in that regard. And I know I didn't have an ideal father. You didn't either. And all fathers and family situations are different. And we realize that. But we have a basic instruction here. And if you want to say, well, I didn't have, you may have not had a father. You may even not have had a mother that cared for you. The principle is here that we listen to those who care about us or are under their authority. Well, what about our Heavenly Father? What about our Heavenly Father? You see, our Heavenly Father is the example that an earthly father should be. And now we fall short and we fail, but we should try to be like the Heavenly Father as much as possible if you're a father. It says a wise son, it's putting the responsibility here on the son. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So we have the contrast here of one that hears and one that scorns, one that is not going to receive. Let me give you a verse of scripture, actually two verses. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 5 and verse 20. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And so if you're a parent and you have lived through that and maybe you've got grandchildren, that you understand how precious that is to have a son that listens. But again, in any situation, the desire for us to receive instruction, whether it be instruction from the pastor, whether it be instruction from the Lord, the Word of God, do we have a teachable heart? Do we want to know the truth? Do we want to learn? Do we want to be better? Do we want to excel or to be better than we are? We should. We should desire to be better. We should desire to be at our best. And that's why it says a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner, this one that says, I know more than they do. Who are they to tell me what to do? I've given you the example before, the young man that we had at our boys' home that got tired of people telling him what to do. So at age 17, he joined the Navy. And I can't help but laugh every time I think about that. He got tired of people telling him what to do, so he went where he wouldn't be told what to do, right? And when he came back to visit, he said, Brother Lonnie, I had no idea. Apparently. I said, yep. And he said, I'm so sorry. Well, you know now, don't you? You know now. See, my dad shared some things with me as a child that I remember now, or I remembered later, that I didn't really pay that much attention to when it would have helped me the most as a teenager. But I remember it now. And I'm thankful for it, for what he shared that was helpful. But the verse says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And that, of course, we can apply that in the Christian life to the Lord when we read his word. Did you know God's word has a way of instructing us? And it tells us what we need to know, what we need to do. Do you know that's the reason why many folks don't read God's word? Because it tells us what we ought to be doing or not doing. And so we need to be read it willing with a teachable heart and saying, Lord, teach me something today. And be willing to abide. Be willing to obey. Now, if you would look at verse 2 with me. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. This eating, is, of course, an illustration of a picture of the blessing that will be received. And, of course, it's talking about food or that which is blessed. There'll be a blessing there. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, meaning there'll be a blessing received as a result of the good things that we say, the proper things that we say, the encouraging, the godly things that we say. Did you know that there's things that we can say to someone that could hurt them tremendously? And I'm not talking about being politically correct type. I'm not talking about people that are looking to be offended by something that we say. I'm talking about things that we say, not paying attention to what we're saying, can be remembered for years. And that's something that we need to be very careful of, because the words that we speak. I remember in first grade, first time I'd ever heard it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You remember that one? Because what happened was that one of the other kids went to the teacher, first time I ever heard it, went to the teacher and said, Gary said such and such about me or to me. And the teacher said to that person, to that other boy, I think it was a boy, I believe. I don't know, may have been a girl knowing Gary. He was kind of ornery at times. But she said, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. And I've never forgotten that. And I heard it many times since then. And she was trying to teach the person not to be easily offended and not to let these words hurt. But sometimes they hurt more than sticks and stones, and longer than sticks and stones would hurt. And so I know the Bible talks about us not being easily offended. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, the Bible says. And we ought to be not to be so sensitive to things. I understand that. But personally, we need to be careful how we speak to others, knowing that our words can be a blessing or a curse. And they can hurt or they can help. And do we want to be a blessing? I believe so. Let me share a verse with you. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Talking about the power or the blessing that comes from being one who is helpful and a blessing with their speech. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, what he says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips shall, with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Apparently, it has to do with our livelihood also. Apparently, there's a connection there. And let's put it into an employer perspective. If you were an employer and you say you had 10 people working for you, and you had an opening, and you were interviewing people for that job, and you had their application, and you called their former employer, or you called a reference or two that they put down, and what you were picking up was that they were a caustic person. They were not helpful with the things that they said. They were very discouraging. They tore down more than they built up. And I'm not just talking about being negative. I mean, all of us are negative to a point. We have to. You know, some people are just bubbly all the time. You know, they're just bubbly, and everything's just bubbly. And you look at them and go, are you for real? Now, there's part of, but we can't talk about the negative stuff all the time. We don't want folks to see us coming and then them go the other way, do we? No. We want folks to be glad to see us when we show up. That's the point. Because why would they be glad to see us when we show up? When, I don't know if you ever worked in a place where you had someone that, wow, they just kind of, their being there just was not good. When they showed up, it just kind of killed the spirit. You know, it just, oh man, they're here. They're here. Don't say nothing. But then there's others that you're glad to see them when they're there. You're just glad to see them. Why? Because they are encouraging. What they say is helpful. What they do is helpful. They are an asset to the work, right? And so I think we have a choice about this. I think we can work at being better with the things that we say to one another. And I'm talking about whether it be a close friendship or a close association, somebody that we work with or a neighbor or relative. I think in all areas of our life we can do better. And so apparently, though, that we see this connection. These other verses talk about this being satisfied, that there's going to be a blessing that results in having food. Verse 2 says a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. There's going to be a material blessing if we're careful to honor the Lord with the things that we say. Let me read this verse again, Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So it does say, and we're warned here, that to be careful, because our life and what we have and the blessings that we have of this life are connected with it. Then we see in verse 3, and those of you who have been with us, as we think back about all these verses that deal with the things that we say, the words that we use, you see it's very important to the Lord. In verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again, my mom used to say, keep your mouth shut and let folks think you're a fool, or open it and remove all doubt. Okay, Mom. Thank you. But those, and that's, there's verses in Proverbs that basically say that. And here's one of them. Is it not? Verse 3. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Those that talk and yak all the time usually wind up saying something that they shouldn't. Well, it says in verse 11 of chapter 10, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23, listen to this. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And we've talked about having to bite our tongue from time to time. Sometimes folks say something that we just feel like we have to respond to. Well, maybe we shouldn't. Think. Sometimes we put our mouth in gear before we engage our brain. And we think, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. I'm guilty of saying things at times that I wish I hadn't said. And guess what I have to do then? It's called apologize. Say, I'm sorry. How many of you like to apologize? I don't enjoy doing that. But you have to, don't you? You have to, because sometimes we say things we shouldn't. I like this verse. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Very good. Our text verse says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Again, there is so much that is connected, so much that is related in our life to what we say. How do people know what we're thinking if we don't speak in some way, to write it out or speak it in words? I was talking to my daughters last night about the Facebook. You familiar with Facebook? And I've got a lot of friends on there, people I've known for many years, through church and members of churches that I pastored, pastor friends and their children, you know, folks like that. And I told my daughters, I said, I think I'm just going to have to quit reading what these folks are saying, because I'm so greatly disappointed in the things that they actually say themselves, or things that they like, things that from other websites or other things of this world that they like, things that are not very nice or God honoring. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? And it's very disappointing. See, they're using Facebook to communicate, to speak. And a lot of people see that. And a lot of people, whatever's in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth. Amen? And if you talk with someone long enough, you'll determine what kind of person they are, because it will be revealed in their speech. And it's just the facts, folks. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Can't say it any plainer than that, can he? The Lord said it very plainly. He, and in our text verse, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Please be warned from God's word. We need to be careful. Verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth. You know what a sluggard is, don't you? It's not someone who hits home runs. A baseball player. Sluggard is a lazy person. A person that doesn't want to work, or let's take it a step further. They not only don't want to work, they don't work. There's been times I didn't want to work, but I had to, right? Well, I tell you what, when I worked with my dad, we had in like this time of year or in August, and he had to do a foundation, a block foundation, a basement out in the middle of a pasture where no wind was stirring, and they dug this big old hole out in the ground, and we had to lay it up maybe 8-10 feet with 12-inch blocks. And we about suffocated in there. And it was so hard. I guess that morning, you know what? I didn't want to go. But I knew I you know what my dad would have said? He said, if I'd have said, Dad, I don't want to go to work today. Of course, I worked with him in the summertime, you know, when school was out. And he said, well, you're old enough. And if I fell for it, I said, well, old enough for what? He said, you're old enough that your wants don't hurt you. Yeah. You're old enough your wants don't hurt you. So guess what? I went. And this, you learn that it's better to do the job, to work. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Well, those that don't work, there's a Bible principle, and there's a principle of life that if you work hard, or the harder you work, the more you'll have. Now, we're not talking about being ate up with being a desire to be rich or materialism. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And I know every situation is different, every job is different as far as the how strenuous it is, whether mentally or physically or both. And there's no two jobs, no two people, no no two situations alike. But what is our heart about the thing? Are we a lazy person? Are we givers? Or are we takers? Do we give our life? Do we give our work? Or do we want to be taken care of by someone? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Well, it would be spiritually and materially. The Old Testament, we understand the blessing of the Lord was upon those who honored Him and those who worked. There's two things that if folks wanted to have a good livelihood, number one, they served the Lord. Number two, they worked hard. Did you know those two actually go together? Why should I work hard if I'm serving the Lord? The Bible says He feeds the sparrows. Well, it certainly does, but He doesn't drop it into their nest. They have to go gather it. He provides it. We need to thank the Lord for the opportunities He gives us to work. Well, let me read you a verse. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." This slack hand's a lazy hand. "But the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13 says, "A slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets." Guess what? There's no lion out there. But he's looking for an excuse not to have to go to work. "Honey, there's a lion out there. I can't go into work today." That's what the slothful man said. Every time I read this verse, I think of that. Jerry Clower, anybody know who Jerry Clower is? He was a comedian back in the old days and a Christian man. But he had this, he was telling about this little boy who was supposed to go out and get his bicycle, bring something in. He opened the door and looked out and he closed it real fast and said, "Daddy, there's a lion out there. There's a lion out there." And Dad went over and looked out and said, "That's not a lion, that's a dog." And he looks back out there and said, "Wow, I thought that was a lion." That little boy did. Hey, and then Dad said, "Don't you lie like that. Don't you lie." Said, "You go upstairs and you talk to the Lord about that. You go up there and get it right with the Lord. You're not supposed to be lying like that." So he goes upstairs, talks to the Lord, and comes back down and said, "Well, did you talk to the Lord about it?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, What'd the Lord say?" "Well, the Lord said the first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a lion too." Yeah. He didn't want to go out. There's a lion out there. Right? "The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets." Because he doesn't. He'll come up with every excuse not to have to do what he's supposed to do. Not every excuse in the world. Well, the Bible tells us, and this should be taught to young people as well as old, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath not, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And that can be applied. It can be applied spiritually. What about the person that doesn't study and read their Bible like they should? But they want to be, they want the blessings of the Lord. They want to know about the Lord, but they don't want to do the study that it takes to know that. And we were talking again, you know, there's a generation of folks that are going to church today, these so-called churches, these entertainment centers that they call churches that are round about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those folks don't read their Bibles. You say, "How do you know?" I've talked to them. They don't know anything about God. They know the fluffy stuff, but they don't know the Word of God. And they got all these different kind of versions that they read. It's like reading the newspaper. You know, one of the reasons why I like the King James Version and I appreciate it is because when you quote the King James Version, when people hear it, they know you're quoting the Bible. Those new versions that when they're quoted, you don't know if they're saying something that they came up with or what. But when you quote the scripture, people recognize it as the word of God. And so I'm just saying that there's a lot of folks out there that should and could know more about the Lord and be more diligent in their Christian life, but they're lazy and they want to be fed, but they've got the meal right here before them, and the Lord expects us to feed from His table. All right, verse 5, if you would, verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. This word loathsome means abhorred in verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying. Did you know God hates lying? The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? Back in chapter 6, one of the six things God hates is a lying tongue. And He states that over and over in Proverbs and Psalms tells us that. Why is it that God hates lying so much? Because He's truth. And the essence of God is truth. Now, we've talked about lying some, and I know there's times that we say things that are not true to keep from hurting somebody's feelings, right? And we don't have to share everything that's true. We're not lying because we don't, like I use the example, I told you, you know, you could say, Brother Qualls, you're fat. And I'd say, yes, that's true, but you're ugly, and I can lose weight. Both are true, right? But we don't have to say, we don't have to talk that way to one another, do we? No, we don't use the truth to hurt people. We use the truth to help people. You say that? Isn't that what the Lord did? When He shared the truth with the Pharisees, He had to get quite direct with them from time to time, didn't He? Called them a bunch of whited sepulchers. Called them a bunch of serpents. That doesn't sound very nice, but it was the truth, and it was appropriate for the time and for the conversation that He was having with them. That needed to be said, and there's times when we need to speak like that, as the Lord leads, but making sure that we're not trying to hurt somebody with the truth. But the Lord hates lying, and what the Lord hates, we should. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, Psalmist David says in Psalm 119, verse 163, listen to this, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Here's the point, folks. The more we love His word and the more we love the Lord, the more we'll love what He loves and the more we'll hate what He hates. Right? That's just the way it is. We'll become more like the Lord the more time we spend in His word. And it's like in, was it Psalm 37? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If I delight in what He delights in, you see, and then His will can be done, I can have His will in my life because I'll want what He wants for me, right? Doesn't He know what's best for all of us? Have you ever asked for anything from the Lord that later on you were thankful He didn't give it to you? I have. I've done that. Lord, thank You for not answering that prayer. That wouldn't have been a good thing. He knows what's right, what's best. And so let's trust Him with it, but let's make sure that we understand that honesty in our heart with the Lord. By the way, you know you can't hide anything from the Lord. Some folks try. Some folks try to hide things from the Lord. They say they treat their life like it's a house. You know, like I've got a house that has over how many rooms? Five rooms. Say you've got a house that's got five rooms. Well, one of them's my room, and I've got the key to it, and I'm not going to let the Lord have that room. Do you know some folks try to do that? There's something in their life that they won't give to the Lord. Well, how can He fill that house? How can He fill that life if we don't give Him the keys to every room? Every room. You see, it's not that we can have more of the Holy Spirit. It's that the Holy Spirit can have more of us. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, Him having us. He says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Here's that verse in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue. How do you feel about folks that lie? Well, verse, look at the last part of verse 5. But a wicked man, I believe he's saying here, remember the contrast we talked about? If we don't understand the first part or the second part of the verse, then we look at the other part of the verse and then contrast it, and then we can come up with an answer or an understanding of it. Here, but a wicked man is loathsome or abhorred and cometh to shame. So what is it talking about? Here's talking about the man who lies, the man who is dishonest, the one who cannot be trusted, the one who we're afraid they will somehow harm us, not maybe physically, but someone who is a liar, someone who lies all the time and dishonest. You wonder, well, will they try to take advantage of me? Will they try to take something from me? Because there's something wrong there. They're abhorred. They're not respected. It's the opposite of being respected and appreciated. But those folks that are honest and loving and kind are as well appreciated. The people that have lived their lives, have you ever heard people talk about someone else? They say, well, they'd give you the shirt off their back. What do you think of when you hear that? You think of a giving person. You think of an honest person. You think of a person that can be trusted. That's what I think of. If someone gives that kind of testimony about someone else's life, that they give you the shirt, it means that you can trust them, right? You could throw them the keys because they could be trusted. But if they're a liar, and I've known some habitual liars, they cannot be trusted. You cannot throw the keys to them. This lying tongue. The Bible, Proverbs, has a lot to say about that. And I think the devil, what is the devil? He is a liar and what? Father of it, of them. He was a liar from the beginning, wasn't he? Talking about a picture of wickedness. What is his primary characteristic? He's a liar. He's a liar. And so the Lord is the truth and the essence of truth. One who can be trusted, but the devil can't be. So the answer is, do we want to be trusted? Do we want to be appreciated? Or do we want to be abhorred? A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. But by the grace of God, we can be blessed and have the will of God done in our lives, and we can be respected because of what he's done in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.